Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now we're up to episode 6 of season 4. This one is called Legacy. It was directed by Robert Shearer, written by Joe Manosky, and it aired back on October 29, 1990. In this episode, the Enterprise crew is caught in the midst of a civil war on Turkana 4, former crew member Tashiyar's homeworld. While negotiating with one of the factions on that world, they discover that that faction's representative is Tashiyar's younger sister, Ishara. Clay is going to stop by to talk about this one, so right after this break, we are going to get deep on a legacy.
Your sister never spoke of you.
It's not surprising.
It is surprising to me. Tasha and I spent much time together. We had a number of conversations.
Did she talk at all about the colony?
Only to say that she was lucky to have escaped.
It wasn't luck, it was cowardice.
Cowardice is a term I've never heard applied to Tasha.
Is something wrong?
No. It is just that for a moment, the expression on your face reminded me of her.
So, Clay, I don't know if this... You probably didn't notice this at all, but this is a special episode for TNG because it's the 80th episode, and with that means that it officially outlasted the original series in episode runs. They had a couple references here. Camus 2, which was a planet, and the USS Potemkin, which was mentioned as the last ship to contact this penal colony. Those are both references to Turnabout Intruder, which is the last episode of the original series.
I can't say that I noticed that because I only had eyes for Ishara in this episode.
Yeah, don't we all? Don't we all? Yeah, but that's the only trivia I think for this episode. This is a big deal for TNG.
It's a big deal for me too.
It's a big deal for you. It's we passed the original series. This podcast has never actually talked about the original series, but it's kind of surprising at the same time how short the original series run was and how long it was, if that makes any sense.
Well, yeah, because there was wasn't there a year in between seasons two and three or something? Because it had been canceled.
Yeah.
But then it had been brought back, right?
Yep, that's exactly right. And the third season of the original series is garbage. It is total garbage.
It's short too, isn't it? Is it not short? I could be making that up.
It might be short for like 60s TV, but I think it had like 26 episodes or something.
I'm just blending together every story I've ever heard about a show that's gone. That like, you know, like every story I've ever heard about a show that goes off the air and comes back. It's like, well, they wanted us back, but they only wanted 8 episodes, and
they spaced
those 8 episodes only on every other Thursday through the month of August.
Sweeps. Yeah, but instead, that is the original series. We're going to talk about Legacy, though, which is. I have two things going into this one before I get to my general point. We've had a with this fourth season. We've had a run of family-related episodes on Next Generation.
Yeah, they really have been.
It's been absurd. I think I'm getting a little bit tired of it. Almost, I wish they would stop doing it. I kind of want to get back to like the Alien of the Week or like a mystery story or something.
Yeah.
And the other thing, which I thought was funny, just because my wife chimed in too when she watched this one. I was feeling the same thing, but it's funny she said it because she doesn't care at all about the series. She said, they're bringing up Tasha Yar an awful lot.
Mm.
And I kind of agree. I feel they go back to the Tasha Yar well quite frequently, something that I've only really noticed in this rewatch.
I don't know why that is. Maybe it's because she's a better character than people give her credit for. I don't know. Maybe that could be a reason.
It's probably. I mean, it sounds totally reasonable. But, I mean, what do you think? Do you think they mention Tasha an appropriate amount for how little she was in the show?
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to say yeah, because I'm going to stick with yes, because I think her death is very significant in terms of, you know, she's the first and, spoiler alert, the only, I think, regular cast member to be killed off in the run of the show.
Yes, in the run of the show, yeah.
And it is really at this point, as their writing style is changing and getting more into continuity, the death of Tasha Yar is really the only continuity point that they can really go back to and lean into.
Yeah.
That affects everyone. The only other one that they can do up to this point really is, that anyone would give a shit about would be the Borg stuff, and they just did that like 4 episodes ago.
Yes, yeah.
So it makes sense to me that if they're trying to make things more serialized, that they would go back to Tasha. And I kind of feel like the constant referencing of her and the way in which they do it might be a bit of a makeup on the writer's part for how bullshit her exit from the show is.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because even I actually completely forgot that the yesterday's Enterprise stuff, the regular crew doesn't remember any of that happening. So when Data tells her sister how Tasha died, he talks about the muck monster thing.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, that's right, that alternate universe or whatever. And even there, the way that he words it is so much more eloquent than what actually happened.
Yeah.
That, you know, it seems like they're doing their best to kind of like, if not erase, clean up the shoddiness with which they took her out of the show.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's weird to me because the writers have basically completely changed since then, and they still bring it up, which is kind of a weird thing. I think your first point is probably right, that they it's really the only event that everyone can kind of cling to without you know, if someone brings up like, remember that time we visited that planet in season one, no one would ever remember what they were talking about.
Right.
It's really only Yar that they can go back to. I feel this episode, just because it came so close to what I feel like yesterday's Enterprise kind of just happened, I feel like they've mentioned Yar in a previous recent episode.
Mm-hmm.
I feel she gets brought up a little bit too much at this point, especially, you know, with this recent one I was watching and that I was thinking, it was like, they really didn't know her all that well in season one, you know? It's like, I don't get the sense that the crew was really close at that point. Like,
yeah. Well, I'll agree with that, but at the same time, I think the stuff that they get out of bringing her up works so well. Like, I love that there's this sort of unspoken retroactive relationship they're writing between Worf and Yar. Because like they, I forget if it's the first scene or not the first scene, but after the opening credits, they make some reference to on the bridge to it being the planet Tasha is from, or she's brought up in some way.
Yep.
And the way that Worf reacts is very much like he clearly had some sort of affection for her, or you know, more than you ever got in the show. The only time you ever got any of that shit was the episode she dies in. But since that's happened, there's been a lot of moments where he has been affected. You can see him kind of emotionally affected by bringing her up, or coming across something that has to do with her. And I actually really like that.
Yeah, I think it ties in. There was that awkward exchange where Troy kept bringing up the fact that he replaces dead crew members all the time, and it was kind of a callback to that. Like he's definitely constantly. He has that super creepy, weird scene here where he gives elevator eyes to Ishara. And I think they were trying to play up the fact that Worf had replaced her. It didn't come across that way. It came across as very, very weird.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about. And doesn't that happen right before she's like, what was her position? And
yes.
Data's like, oh, it's exactly what Worf does.
Right. I think the camera was trying to imply that she notices Worf and puts together that Tasha used to do what he did. It's weird because it's the first scene where she's wearing that skin-tight outfit. And Worf just like basically molests her with his eyes for like 30 seconds in the shot. It's a very strange thing, but I think I agree with you for the most part about Yari. Maybe she's not super overplayed, but I think it's a little bit odd in this rewatch watching all the episodes so close together how frequently they go back to her.
Yeah, and also I mean that might be. It might stand out more because you're watching them so close together.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
I mean. What is close together for you might be, you know, 2 months between episodes.
Yes, yeah, no, that's, or yeah, I mean between seasons, you talk about closer to a year and everything.
Right, right.
Yeah, so let's get into Legacy, which I think maybe I'll save the line that I think is so funny for later. But my general thoughts about Legacy are there's a bunch of, if not great moments, there's a bunch of really good moments in this episode mm-hmm. that is held together by the Ishara Yar glue, which I do not think is very good whatsoever.
You mean the character herself?
No, just how everything that she has to do with, like the planet she's from, the, mm-hmm. the groups that she's aligned with, mm-hmm. How quickly the episode is forced to sort of put her through the motions.
Okay.
But what I do like is, like, I think it has a bunch of great scenes. Like, the poker scene that opens it, I think, is great. Mm-hmm. The scene with Data that closes it, I think, is great.
Mm-hmm.
The Picard and Riker have a sort of throwaway scene where Picard chastises him at first for being emotional and then says, but anyway, like, great job.
Right, right.
I like that scene. There's just little moments in it that I appreciate, but all the stuff that sort of brings those moments together, I don't think is very good.
Okay.
Stemming largely from the fact that Ishara Yar's group that she's from feels like it is from an original series episode.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like this is another one of those episodes where the writing team is kind of split in half, where some of the stuff they're doing is really good. Like, I actually liked, if not the character herself, I liked the stuff going on the Enterprise with her. I thought a lot of the character stuff and emotional stuff. Oh, basically, this episode for me is like the fourth or fifth episode in a row that continues Data's Cold as Ice tour, where... where the writers are really digging into Data as a character and what makes him tick and all these different ideas about what he can and can't do. And it ends, and they end the episode with him being a complete motherfucker to somebody. and it's like in a really ambiguous way where it's like, well, maybe he knows what he's doing, but maybe he's just being a robot.
Yep, yep.
Which is awesome.
I love the ending shot here. It's very similar to, like you're saying, it's his cold as ice thing. They did it in... I felt very similar in that it reminds me of the Offspring episode, which we both mm-hmm. thought wasn't particularly good except for the ending.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I feel that's kind of the same thing here.
Yeah, it's similar. It has the same kind of... you know, I keep waiting for them to go the easy way and just write the bullshit, whatever any other character would say line. And they always remember what character is being spoken to and have him say something that, you know, would be appropriate for his character.
Yep.
Which I guess you should do when you're writing a show, but
yeah, it's important.
But the other stuff, I mean, all the stuff on the planet just reeks of first season. I mean, from the way that everybody's dressed to the fact that it's just a bunch of people running around in these underground caves doing something nondescript.
It's a laser tag set they are running around. It looks so stupid.
No, you're dead on. It's a laser tag set.
It looks so stupid.
They even have the glowing things on their chest.
Yeah, to tell them when they got hit by the... Yeah, it is. And I was reading about it. It's like the director was impressed by the set thing. Like, because I assume in a director world, they were doing a lot of handheld camera stuff. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. tailing it, like, doing this thing. But it does not look good whatsoever. And it's also... it's a big letdown because you've heard terrible things about this place, you know?
Yeah.
And they go there and it's basically like two frat houses that are like stealing whiskey from each other. And it's so stupid and cheesy.
I didn't even see a single rape gang. That's all they've talked about this place.
It is. That's all they brought up. And instead, everyone seems pretty happy. They live in kind of a shitty place. But I mean, besides that, like the logistics of this thing... Are these the only groups on this entire planet? Why do they live right next to each other?
Yeah, I mean, it has a similar feel to... oh, God, I can't remember what the episode was. There was another episode where it was two groups that were warring with each other.
Was that the Jameson episode, right, where he wanted to get armed? No. Or are you thinking of something else?
I'm thinking of the one where Riker very slowly and painfully murders that girl.
Oh, right, the Vengeance Factor.
Yeah, and there's like... Is that the one with the clones where he also kills his own clone?
No, that was Up the Long Ladder. with the Irish people.
That's the one I'm thinking of. That's the one. Yep. Because where it's like there's only like a slight difference between these two groups, and as far as we know, they're only contained to one small area.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, you know, seems to be things that could be settled relatively quickly. And I mean, you know, that's just a budgetary thing.
Yes,
I mean,
yeah.
There's a reason why this new planet they're on looks like an old basement.
Yeah, yeah. It's a I understand it's totally a budgetary thing. It's really, I feel they could have, I don't know, I feel like not exploring what this planet is all about is kind of a big loss. Like, they kind of just write it up as be like, well, shit went crazy, the government, and then, you know, as if like, as if the government failing somehow causes an entire planet to just go into complete and utter chaos. It doesn't really make a lot of sense.
I understand it to an extent, though, on the other end, because, like, yeah, it's a budgetary thing and you'd like to see more. But at the same time, like, imagine if you're thinking about Earth, if the crew of the Enterprise shows up in New Jersey and like Trenton, New Jersey, mm-hmm. to do this whatever mission, there's, you know, no guarantee that that's going to affect what's going on in China, you know, or
right,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, I understand it's a, maybe they could have scaled it down from a planet, you know, like scaled it into something else or some other, like maybe just a rogue fleet of ships or something.
Yeah.
You know, something sort of different than that, but.
Or even like just like a country, like, you know.
Right,
I mean,
yeah.
Like, imagine if they landed in Australia. No one's going to, you know.
Right.
In a more frontier-ish era. You know, nobody knows. People still don't know what's going on over there.
Right, exactly. they don't have internet out there. It's a big, big space. But it's also, it ties into, I don't know if they were being ironic. I hope they were. They gave these guys the stupidest names. There's the Coalition and the Alliance, which is the blandest names I think you can come up with.
Yeah, and when Ishar's like, I just want to get away from the Coalition, I was like, I don't know if I wasn't paying attention, but I was like, that doesn't sound like a gang. I mean, I can understand why you'd want to get out of like the private sector working at an office building, but
get away from. Yeah, it's not. Neither of the names are like threatening or anything. It's just
it's like I really want to get away from this nonprofit that I work for.
This is just, they're working me to the bone, paying me a substandard wage. But the quote that was funny to me was Picard has this. Patrick Stewart sells it. It's a terrible line. He goes, Coalition, Alliance. It all sounds so reasonable.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, it does sound reasonable, but I don't think they're supposed to sound reasonable. Like,
right,
I don't understand. It was just funny to me that, we've mentioned this before, it feels sometimes like the writers are like, ah, fuck, what are we going to call it? They're like, well, we're on a roll. Like, just put in Coalition and Alliance for now. We'll go back and change it to something more badass later on.
Yeah. And stuff like that, I've always felt like that stuff works when it has a larger implication. You know, like if you're writing some story and your evil organization is called like the company.
Well, like Alien, something, you know?
Yeah, that usually applies to a larger thing that has some sort of overarching or pressure or whatever. But this, it's just like, it's basically, it could be the Jets and the Sharks.
Yes.
And it would, you know, could be exactly the same thing. There's no external pressure coming from either of these groups. So giving them names like that seems a little bit, yeah, like they didn't bother to go back and take a second swing at it.
And I mean, I'd be interested here. I guess they say in the episode, these are the last two remaining factions. So mm-hmm. I'd be interested to see what the other factions were actually named. Maybe just like the guys and gals or something. And I don't know. If anyone has any ideas, let me know.
HR and billing.
Accounting, R&D, R&D accounting. It's all very reasonable. You know, I think that's a huge kind of problem for this episode. I think her plan, it feels very original series, like that where they first meet them and they bring them into like the gang lair, you know, and he's like, I just stole some whiskey from them. And it's like, what's the point of this planet? I don't understand why the Federation doesn't just nuke this place and like start over.
I was just like it was not a good sign for me when you know, I'm watching the beginning of the episode, and they get to the scene right before the credits where it's just Data giving you exposition about the planet.
Yeah.
And, you know, they do the big, like, pre-credits music swell, like you're supposed to care what's going on. And I was like, I don't even know what he said.
Yes.
I have no idea what's going on.
That's
my own problem because I didn't listen to it. But I mean, you know, I don't know.
No,
I didn't bother going back to listen either.
I don't think you're alone in that. I was actually, it's funny you say that. I was watching it thinking, wow, they made it really obtuse what's happening in this opening. Like, because they're warping to somewhere to rescue a ship, right? The ship blows up.
Right.
O'Brien is like, there's nothing to track onto. They're talking about ion trails going down to a colony on the planet. It's like, what the fuck is happening? Like, how did they get off the ship?
I guarantee you, Captain Picard did not know anything what was going on, just as much as I did, because we know that he doesn't understand that shit.
He throws out, like, you know, when you fake what you've heard someone has said and you just kind of answer vaguely and they look at you like, that wouldn't do anything to fix this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No, it reminds me, this is a solid Picard episode for him not having much to do. He has that great Riker scene.
Yep.
He also, I really loved, for whatever reason, the scene at the very end where he tells them to cut the channel on the little meddling douchebag guy.
Yeah, that was good.
I don't think he's ever done that. Well, just hang up on somebody on the comm channel before. It seems new, anyway.
This was a good episode for crew members of the Enterprise being fed up with other people's shit.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. I totally agree with that. But I mean, let's. I guess we should get into what I do like about this. It's ostensibly a Data episode.
It's like a deceptively Data episode.
Yes, yeah.
Like, it doesn't feel like it for most of it, but then you kind of think back as to what happened. It's like, yeah, it really is a Data episode.
And it takes a long time for the significance of the poker scene at the beginning to make any sense.
Mm.
You know, that feels really, as you're watching it, it feels completely detached from whatever they were doing. And ultimately, you know, it turns into the whole thing about bluffing and not being able to, as much as Data is learning, he's still unable to tell people bluffing him outside of poker.
Right.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that. Does Data have the ability to bluff on his end? I know he understands the concept, but is that something that he can effectively do?
He probably can do it. The episode seems to imply he's just not good at picking up on it, although the episode also implies that no one else was good at picking up on it. It doesn't even imply it states that. Riker says it right at the end. I don't really know. I mean, to tie into that, there's a scene in the poker scene in the beginning where Riker makes a bet, and he looks back at Data, and Data's giving him kind of a funny look, and Riker laughs it off as, like, best poker face ever.
Yeah.
I thought that was a mistake, because I would have just, if I was directing it, I would have had Spiner just playing completely Data stone-faced, you know? Like, normal face, because that's kind
right.
of... It's funny that he would have a perfect poker face. They don't do that. They play for a joke, which I think was a little bit of a mistake. Technical glitch. But anyway, we were talking about Data's poker face. You know, I think the poker scene in general is pretty solid for this episode. I mean, it ties in nicely with the theme of Data getting bluffed and everything like that. Go ahead.
Sorry, finish your point.
Well, I don't know how strongly, as much as I like the start and the end, I feel it's really just the middle that doesn't play towards that. Like, It also happens over such a quick time that the final teary farewell between Ishara and Data at the end, I don't know if she's lying at that point. You know, I think the episode is saying she's not lying.
Yeah.
But it's hard to tell because we've spent so little time with the character.
Right. Yeah, if I had to guess, I would say probably no, because I feel like, I mean, I guess you could go either way. It doesn't really matter. But that scene is something that traditionally would seem like the character honestly appealing to the person that they've dicked over, and that person they've dicked over, you know, shutting them down.
Yep, yep.
But you could take it either way, because, I mean, she's not doing anything different than she did you know, the rest of the episode shows she could be full of shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I did the poker scene. It just occurred to me now how weird the poker scene is because of who's there.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you ever in a million years let Troy play poker with you? She should be killing everyone except Data. It should be that scene that happens should be a showdown between Troy and Data, not Troy and Riker.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
If anyone should be able to tell when someone's bluffing, it should be Troy.
She doesn't tell this bluff of Ishara Yar this entire episode.
That's the thing. This is another episode where she is next to useless. Because there's the one scene that she gets where they're like, what do you think, Troy? And she says, I don't know. This guy seems like he's probably not on the level. As for her, I've got no idea.
I got nothing. I'm really sticking to that. I mentioned it before, the show Trekabout that I listened to. They mentioned her as a plot buster. I really think that's the prime weakness of this character.
Yeah.
You can't have any duplicity in an episode without it being obvious that she's being misused, you know, like as a character. It's just, it's real difficult.
Or at the very least, I mean, why is she able to censor whatever the hell she does, Betazoi, over the communications thing? Why can't they just say, oh, well, if she can't really do it if they're talking over the communicator?
Right.
If I'm talking to someone on the phone, I don't know what kind of shirt they're wearing.
Right. That's exactly.
Or if they're wearing a shirt at all, depending on what number I'm calling.
Or how she can isolate something so far away.
Right.
She's clearly not getting it through the view screen. She must be sensing them from the planet, but how is she so pinpointy in her, predictive ability to sense exactly what this guy's thinking?
Yeah, I can't tell if she's overpowered or if she's just undefined.
Yeah, I think it's like the transporter. She's just kind of undefined as to what this actually means for people. Like, if you go into the transporter and you use it, are you the same person when you come out of the transporter?
Yes, the prestige argument.
Yeah, it's like, are you Star Trek? I've been watching some of the Deep Space Nine. They have episodes that deal with this. Star Trek does not deal with this very well. Star Trek will continue to think that if you are an exact copy of someone, you are not as good as that original person. That's a major theme in Star Trek, I think. Like,
that's interesting.
If you're a copy of someone, we are okay with you dying, and that's fine. Like, you just have to go.
That's interesting.
It's a weird thing because, I mean, the show goes out of its way to just say this copy is an exact copy. It has like your memories and everything. It's basically you just reconfigured and made like of a different stuff. Huh. But anyway, that is neither here nor there.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing to get into. I'm disappointed if that's only Deep Space Nine and they don't get into it in TNG, because I'd like to see one of those.
Oh, they will get into it in a couple seasons from now. Thomas Riker is going to make his appearance.
Ooh.
So we'll have you back on to talk about that. But I mean, just to wrap this one up, what do you think is like the strongest point, weakest point of this episode, or would you really hate?
I really liked all the Data stuff. I thought that stuff was really good. I can see that the writers are just really interested in him this season.
Yeah.
Because they're really kind of getting into, you know, like I said earlier, what he can and can't do, it's like they're getting into things a lot more interesting than, the definition of the term bingo dates back to 1800, you know, like that shit.
Yeah.
Which is all he did in the first season, basically.
Yeah.
they're exploring him because he's an interesting character. It's an interesting concept to have put in there, especially when you're finally going against the grain of what was intended and actually having this character who is more or less a faultless being have to come in contact with flawed characters, and how does he react to them, and you know, how do they react to him, and it's interesting stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I think at this point Data is the most interesting character on the show.
Definitely.
Yeah.
To be okay, so the one thing that is pushing back for me though is I think sort of the same thing you were saying about wishing the episodes would get to something else. As much as I do like these Data episodes where they're really getting into it, and I think as a kid I would have hated them.
Yes.
Because yeah. There's a lot of them. And I can appreciate the ideas they're playing with now, but even now I'm kind of like, all right, yeah, this is good. Let's bring back Q or do something else.
They feel a little bit similar to each other. Even if they explore different topics about Data, it always ends with a close up of his like unemotional look. You know, it's always just about whether or not he's getting it, like whether or not you're drawing an idea about whether or not he gets what's going on.
Yeah.
So as much as they're dissimilar, they do tend to feel the same in terms of how the episode works. I think that I can't imagine they'd have a harder time going in different tracks on for him. And maybe it's just because you're right. I think we've seen a lot of episodes that are kind of similar to what's going on here in a very short amount of time for us watching it.
The big question, though, to come out of this episode is why do all the Yar girls have the hots for the android?
Yeah. What kind of issues is that about? What does that mean?
The one thing that did stand out to me in this, I think it's general across the ones that I've seen. I wish Worf actually had more duties. Like, I feel like he has a defined position, but what he actually does is not very well defined. So it stood out to me. I can't remember exactly what point it was, but he actually makes a comment that made sense coming from the security officer. Yep. I think it was when he and Riker and Picard are like kind of having their little they're discussing things after coming back from the planet, and Worf drops a line about it not being safe to do X. Like it was more technical and more of a security officer type line than I feel like he's ever had.
Yeah, yeah.
He just usually ends up being the fourth guy who goes down to the planet with him.
Yeah, he's usually just the muscle. That is true. It's because Data's role is pretty well defined. Operations. He kind of does all that the day to day sort of stuff. Picard's easy. Right. Even Riker is pretty well defined as the like sort of middle management guy who does who runs all the like the task force when Picard doesn't want to do it. So it is interesting that Worf is really backgroundy, which is funny because that's all he was when Yar was around. He was purely just in the background. So maybe it's a callback to that.
Yeah, the other thing I thought was interesting was I kind of didn't like. At first, all the stuff that Ishara was talking about with Tasha running away and all that kind of stuff, because it felt like needlessly tarnishing her character a little bit.
It also felt untrue.
Yeah, it really did. And then Picard comes in. He's like, "Well, no, I mean she was awesome." And then she's like, "Yeah, I guess she probably was awesome."
Right.
I understand that that's the way she feels. That's what she feels like Tasha did or whatever. But I don't know. It felt weird.
No, I think it ties in with they're trying to do a lot with this character in a very little amount of time.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, just bringing up, in my opinion, Yar was a coward. It's like, well, that doesn't seem to ring true with anything we saw from the character. There was never a story in the first season where she discussed being afraid. That would have been too deep for a first season episode to really get into. But
right.
There's nothing there to make you feel that is actually true. I think a weakness of the episode might be, I'm familiar with it, so I knew that it was. I think if you were watching this episode for the first time, there's a little bit of a hint of this is not really her sister. That might continue to linger for you.
Okay.
The show tries its best to clear that up by having Crusher run tests and everything. But it almost feels odd that Yar has this sister, and this is the only time we see her.
Yeah, I guess in my head, I kind of thought Tasha was more of like, like a sole survivor, just scraping by to survive kind of character. and that she didn't just have a sister who
Why'd she leave her behind? Why would she leave her behind on this rape gang planet?
Right, right.
Yeah, so it doesn't really fit with what the character is, but that's interesting. It's
I also think there's probably, well, I like the idea, and it did generate some interesting character stuff. I feel like it is a little disingenuous because, you know, even if it is Tasha's sister, which they proved to be, I mean, they haven't seen each other in 15 years. How old are these people supposed to be? Like, in their early 30s? Maybe late 20s?
I think late 20s is what Yar was supposed to be. I don't think it's ever said, but yeah, that would be...
So, assuming that means that this other girl, her sister, hadn't seen her since she was, like, 8.
Yes.
And... I mean, how
do you get mad at an 8-year-old for running away? Like,
or no, how do you relate to that person? It's relating to someone that you have never met about someone that person has never met.
Yes,
yeah. You know what I mean. Yep. If that makes sense.
No, too much time has passed for this to be any of this to be like ringing true. You know, it's not. It's the memories of these children are a little bit confused, I would think, at this point, or something like that. It doesn't hold for me. That goes into the whole thing of like not seeming like this is really a sister relationship that these two have.
Yeah.
Which is, it is what it is. They have to get the show done. 45 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it works as well enough as a. As a plot device, and you know, it generates some interesting stuff.
Yeah, the episode in Family, like I buy the Worf and his parents' relationship. Like that, that feels like a real relationship that siblings would have.
Definitely.
It's a little tougher here because Yar is not present, so we only have Ishara to go off of.
Mm-hmm.
But I still feel it never. She feels more like she would be Linda Hamilton's sister than she would be Tasha Yar's.
Yeah, no, she does. She does look a lot like Linda Hamilton. Yeah,
she is well of that ilk. But yeah, let's. I guess we'd wrap it up here. I don't have much else to say. So I'm going to play an audio clip. Me and Clay are going to come back. We're going to give our final ratings for Legacy.
Come in,
Data. What's on your mind?
Recent events have left me puzzled, sir. It has been days since Ishara left, and yet my thoughts seem to dwell on her. Almost as if I were experiencing a feedback loop in my mnemonic network.
I know what you mean.
It is curious that I was so easily misled.
Make that we.
Yes, sir.
Data, sit down.
Thank you, sir.
In all trust... there is the possibility of betrayal. I'm not sure you were prepared for that.
Were you prepared, sir?
I don't think anybody ever is.
Then it is better not to trust.
Without trust, there's no friendship, no closeness, none of the emotional bonds that make us who we are.
And yet you put yourself at risk.
Every single time.
Perhaps I am fortunate, sir, to be spared the emotional consequences.
Perhaps.
All right, Legacy, the 80th episode of The Next Generation, setting records, going places. Clay, on our scale of 1 to 5, what are you going to give Legacy, and what are sort of final thoughts about this one?
This is a tough one. I'm going to say 3. Because I think 3 is, you know, basically my middle ground. And I think this is a, you know, it's a fine episode. I think I think it's saved by the Data stuff and the character stuff. So there's not enough of that to make it really great. And it saves it enough that the other stuff you can kind of, like, not pay attention to. Like I said, I mean, by the end of this episode, I was focused in on... the character stuff, and I didn't even really know what the hell... I mean, I did, but, like, I didn't care. I forgot at a certain point that they were even trying to rescue guys.
Yeah, that's way in the background, except for the guy's incredibly awkward, stilted reading of the ransom thing. that is definitely like a writer's assistant gussied up and put on camera.
You know, like I think it could have even been more interesting if she wasn't playing them and she legit did want to, like, if it had been more about that, I think maybe they should have leaned into the Tasha stuff even more in this one, like repairing her sister's memory of Tasha and then helping her get, you know, like something like that. Like it just, the stuff on the planet just, I mean, it was, I understand it's action for action's sake or whatever, but it's just, it was boring.
Yeah.
So I would say three, cause I think you can watch this and get stuff out of it, but I would by no means say like, hey, watch this one.
Yeah. That's a, I think I pretty much agree. I'm also going to give it a three. It has enough good to balance out some weaker bits of it, which in my opinion, again, are the planet, anything to do with this planet. It's solidly enjoyable. It has the wonderful Data moments. I love every episode that ends with Data. Like, ends on a shot of Data is always very touching. The other crew's interactions with him are fantastic. Riker's little talk at the end, which ended on a kind of a downer for TNG with the "perhaps you are," where Data says, "maybe I'm lucky to be this way," and Riker says, "perhaps you are."
Oh, yeah.
Kind of a downer. It's a good writing, but it's kind of a little bit of a downer or something.
Yeah, it continues, like I was saying before, they remember the character they're writing, and it feels like they're going out of their way to not have him just fall into normal TV reactions.
Right.
I may have said this before, but like one of the big problems I have with the show, with The Walking Dead, is they have characters that give these... respond to situations and respond with dialogue that are just like it's like placeholder dialogue for what characters usually say in that situation.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with anything that just happened.
Right.
You know? Yep. So it's like something will be specifically one character's fault, but then when that character goes to his dad or whatever father figure and is like, "Oh, it's all my fault," the father's like, "No, it's not your fault." It's like, "No, it is your fucking fault."
Right. Yeah. Need to accept some responsibility.
Well, yeah, but it's that kind of thing where they make sure to keep Data within the boundaries that he should be kept.
Yes, I agree. I think the show's doing a pretty excellent job of that at this point. Definitely the strength of the writing staff at this point is to keep the character boundaries are pretty good. Partly because the writing's improved and partly because of the way the show is. So it kind of has to go through these motions. But I'm going to give this one a three. Ashari Yar, we barely knew you. But if you guys enjoyed the content today and you're listening on YouTube, like and a comment's appreciated. Let me know what the other alliances and the coalitions are called. a prize to the winner. And if you're on iTunes, a rating or review is very helpful. Clay, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me back.
And I will continue. Ooh, I don't know what the episode is after this. Do you have that pulled up? I think it's the...
I don't.
It's the Worf episode, I'm pretty sure. It's the introduction of Alexander.
Oh, is that his son?
Yes.
I mean, I don't know how that plays now, but I did not like any of that crap.
Well,
at least before, anyway.
Well,
so yeah. I'll see you guys in a couple months.
Alexander makes his appearance. Clay leaves. Everything goes back to normal. All right, guys, thanks a lot for listening.
I have to go finish my Ashari Yar fan fiction.
See ya.